A couple of things. I do think there needs to be some procedure, so particularly so programmers have access to due process. Dr. Kuiperson Lin is here. He's been trying to get access to due process to consider his complaints for some ungodly period of time, stretching into years. So I am strongly in favor of that. The issues I have with this are I can't imagine that any programmer removed would not want to avail themselves of this process, and it's a very involved process, so I think we'll have to hire a permanent mediator because I think that any time there's a program change, it'll go through that. I like it better than the previous one where an arbitrator ultimately decided, because I thought that made the arbitrator the program director, and I'm willing to try this for a while to see how it works so we have something in place and moving, but it does look like something that's going to be occupying a lot of people an awful lot of time, and I think we should think about it. The other issue is the notion that the IPC is in charge of programming policy, which is something I have an issue with. My idea of a program council, and incidentally this body should be coming up with a formal program council structure this year, so it's not an IPC. My view is that the bylaws state that this body is responsible for determining that policy is appropriate and fair, and et cetera, et cetera. So I don't mind the idea that a program council would recommend policies, but ultimately I think it's this body's responsibility for policy. My view of a program council is that program councils review programming, look at programming within the context of policy, again, maybe makes recommendations, but it's not itself the policy making or review body. Other people may differ, but we haven't had the discussion yet, and I don't like the idea of making it a de facto thing without that discussion. So anyhow, I'm willing to support it, you know, with the proviso that I really think it's going to be extremely, extremely unwieldy. And I would like to, I think it's important we have something in place so that people like Dr. Lin don't have to, you know, wait around wondering in what way he's gonna get access to due process. But I do have some issues with it.
Thank
still.
You. Now, the stack is Margaret, Sherna, and Eva. I think you had your hand up.
And you've got them on that side.
Oh, excuse me. And Lydia.
And Ed.
Oh, and Ed. Excuse me. Okay. It's Margaret, Sherna, Eva, Lydia, Ed. Margaret.
Yeah, my question is where does the buck stop fundamentally? I mean, that's where I'm trying to get, you know, looking at the bottom of this thing. I mean, are we saying then that it potentially would be an LSB vote that would determine whether a programmer is on or off the air?
No.
And if that is the case, when we look at some of the issues around elections or representation of, you know, disadvantaged communities on the board, for example, there are some issues around that. How then does that play out when you have a board that makes those kinds of decisions? And I'm wondering if the program director, I mean, you said you worked this out with management, so I'm assuming that the program director also had input in it. It's a question. It's not saying that I wouldn't support it. I just want to get a clear sense of exactly how this would work.
Sure enough.
Okay, let me clarify a few things. First of all, the committee talked about starting a list of volunteer mediators, and that we don't feel is that difficult to do. Ultimately, if you look at number 5, the committee would make a recommendation to the LSB. With regard to the issue of the program council and policy, we have been going around in circles on this, the idea being that the LSB does have oversight on the policy, but is not the group that would develop the policy. If it's deemed unfair or whatever, then it would be reviewed by the committee and brought to the LSB. This is about people being canceled arbitrarily, being taken off the air for various reasons. Any of us who've been involved as unpaid staff in programming know that we've had a lot of problems, and things are done on a rather ad hoc basis, and there's absolutely no procedure for dealing with that. That's what this is about. It's not about long-term scheduling issues.
Thank you. Eva.
Thank you, Don. Let me first also mention, and I think we've given it out to the Oversight Committee, that there is a number of programming policies. One of the major concerns was obviously the process that Shana's talking about. To your question, Margaret, the box stops with management with regards to programming, but this process is designed so that there is a process, and it's designed so that people can come together informally before it even becomes formal to try and resolve issues. So that's my response to that. I think this is really critical for us to do, to make people feel that, you know, there's a place that they can go. On the other hand, I am concerned about the issue that Dave brings up, is the IPC. We have an IPC in place that don't know what their function is. And according to the bylaws, this LSB, you know, is the oversight committee over programming. So really, I really strongly ask you to move on having that discussion really soon about the role of the IPC.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to call...
5 more minutes on this item.
Yeah, well, now, we have 2 items under this agenda item. Therefore, I'm going to just rule that we're going to go to the rest of this stack, which is Lydia, Ed, and Donna, and then I'm going to encourage the board to seek resolution. Chair recognizes Lydia Bresson.
Okay, my concern with it is that complaints, or what kind of complaints, is not clearly delineated. The parameters of it is too broad, and given the breadth of the process itself that invokes the mediator and so on and so forth, that you could have a very minor issue that the program might insist on a mediator for something that where it's not called for. So either have some kind of parameters of what do you mean by complaints? Complaints about what, the air conditioning while they're on air? You know, it's like, I mean, that's just a foolish thing to, as an example, but if you get my idea, some kind of parameters.
People are not looking at this carefully.
Excuse me, one moment. I want the member to finish her comment.
Sorry. Yeah, that's my question. I'm asking for clarification.
But I'm sorry,
it's not an objection. It's just asking for Sherna's
point of privilege. From there are less than five minutes left in this entire agenda item, and the Management Evaluation Committee does want to present a motion.
Yeah. Now the chair wants to guarantee to that committee that we will deal with that. It would not be fair to deal with one item under this agenda and not the other. So I'm going to, Sonali, actually consider your comments in order, and we're going to have to find a way to distribute this. And I would like now,
can
if Lydia is finished, one moment, okay. I'm going to go to Ed and Donna, and then we'll end with Sherna for clarifying remarks. Chair recognizes Ed.
I'll forgo my remarks.
Thank you very much. Chair recognizes Donna. Oh, good. Then let's go directly to Sherna for clarification.
If everyone would read step one, it clearly says, citing the way in which the action violated existing policy or the mission. This is not about trivial kinds of things.
All right. Now, the chair is interested in trying to resolve this. Now, we're not voting until after public comment. But if there are fundamentally important things to be said, they should be done now. And I'm going to call on Rodrigo. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to say also that the problem right here is that the IPC is not clear what the role of the IPC is. Mm-hmm. And the situation, they had a meeting like a week and something ago. They were supposed to have a meeting on Thursday, but not everyone showed up. And Armando Gudiño was supposed to be there because he was supposed to bring some clarity on this issue. So when they had the meeting on Saturday, Armando Gudiño got there 1.5 hours late. And that's one of the things, you know, that we have to start looking at, you know, how we can, you know, really, you know, fulfill, you know, what we say that we're going to do. And also, they did not talk about the process of, or the characteristics of the IPC. You know, they talk about other issues, but not really, you know, about the function of every member of the IPC and what's the link or what's the relation of the IPC with the LSB and how it influences the decisions of the LSB, you know, those people who are in the IPC. If they are in the IPC for more than a year already, because the IPC, the Programming Council, was formed long ago. I mean, it was like, what, more than probably 2 years or something. No, the full song, and then some more members got to it, but so far they don't even know what they can do with the IPC. And also we were seeing that there were some more issues about forming other groups for the LSB, but we don't have no clarity for the IPC yet, you know. So those are the things that the LSB should really be focusing. I fully agree that the programmers and non-pay and also pay staff should have the right to make complaints, and they have to be, you know, taken in account right here, because yes, we as, you know, non-pay staff, we have had many issues, you know, yes, in there. But
okay,
you know, mainly the IPC role.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Your comments are well taken, and the relationship between the LSB and the IPC. We have the chair of the IPC in the room, and I think all of us agree that relationship has to be formalized. Right now, what I want to do, we have a motion before us. We cannot vote on until after public comment.
We're out of time for deciding.
Yes.
Do you want to extend?
Move to extend 3 minutes.
Well, no, we need to extend to take the next motion. I would say we have to extend for at least 8 minutes.
Okay, move to extend 8 minutes.
Is there unanimous consent that this agenda item can extend for 8 minutes? Seeing the nodding of the head, I rule that it's extended for 8 minutes. If there's no further discussion on the, we'll call it the, it's not the Schoenage Gluck,
no, it's programming
the programming
oversight committee motion.
It's the programming oversight committee motion. If there's
a quick one.
A quick one, Maria.
I just wanted to say that, Rodrigo, you're right about the IPC, Dave also, but I think that that's a separate issue that needs to be taken up at the next meeting, and I think this is a good fix for now, mm-hmm, until we figure out how we're going to deal with the IPC and the new programming council. But we need to actually figure that out, like how that's going to be. But for now, this is as close as we're going to get until
Thank
we figure
you.
That out.
Thank you. Okay, the chair is going to declare this discussion closed. The voting on this will occur in agenda item 8 under board voting following public comment. Any of these copies, Sherna, that are not being used should actually go out to the...
They're right there. I gave some out before and the rest are... Okay.
Yeah, okay. The chair recognizes... is Sonali chair of the GM... Who is making that...
I'm the secretary.
Chair recognizes Sonali. And just for clarification to listener sponsors, we've moved to agenda item 6 and we're now on number 2. Agenda item 6, number 2, GM evaluation committee. Sonali.
Okay, this is a committee that did a lot of work last year, and of course we're in a new local station board right now, new body. There's some overlap, of course, between past and present. I was a secretary pro tem. Leslie Radford was the chair pro tem. We actually never elected permanent chairs and secretaries. Just want to give a report, basically, and then present a motion. The members elected to this committee last year included myself, Alan Minsky, Jane Halloran, Leslie Radford, Margaret Prescott, Fernando Velasquez, Donna Warren, and Israel Foyer. Sarah Amir was also elected but never seated. Additional LSB members who regularly attended the meetings and participated in the discussion were Madeline Schwab and Harrison Weil. There were listener members who would also regularly attend, including Roger Zimmerman and Myla Reason. I'm sorry if I'm forgetting anybody else. We had many, many productive months of meetings. We had 12 official meetings since last April through December. And during the last several meetings, we focused on the management evaluation survey, the actual instrument, which is what we hope will be used in the annual evaluation. We've not had the chance to draft a proposal on either the implementation mechanism of the evaluation or the program director evaluation, because this LSB is charged with evaluating both the PD and the GM, although we have had discussions on these issues. What we completed in a very concrete manner after many, many meetings and very serious and detailed discussion, during which there were sometimes disagreements but almost always came to a consensus, was a draft of a survey for the GM evaluations. The committee meetings, I thought, were extremely productive. They represented diverse viewpoints. People worked very, very hard, taking work home and emailing back and forth, etc. The committee agreed that since the survey instrument will naturally result in subjective responses, it should also be used alongside objective measures of evaluation like statistics and numbers to evaluate the GM. Unfortunately, we didn't get the chance to actually finalize the objective measures, but we can, you know, hopefully continue that work in the next incarnation of the committee. We had emailed the instrument to this body or to the previous incarnation of this body several times, and I know that there are new members on this body that perhaps have not seen this. I have one hard copy and a copy on my computer, but what I'm asking you on behalf of our committee to do today is to trust the work of this committee that represented many different perspectives and came together to put forward a very detailed and I believe a very, very important and good document that can be used for the GM evaluation. Even if you may have disagreements with one or two detailed questions, I think overall this is a very important document. And so I'd like to make a motion, being that the Pacifica bylaws instruct the local station boards to conduct an annual evaluation of the station general manager. Therefore, be it resolved that the KPFK local station board adopts the draft of the GM evaluation instrument presented by the Management Evaluation Committee as the formal instrument to be used in evaluating KPFK's GM. And
that motion is now on the table, and it doesn't call for a second because it does come out of a committee. We have a little time for clarifying questions and comments. Chair recognizes Kimberly.
I wouldn't feel comfortable voting on this until I've seen a copy of the evaluation and also been able to think about it, been able to look at it. I don't know who the survey is directed to, et cetera.
Alan Minsky.
As Julie says over here too, are there copies? And Sonali says they've been emailed to everybody, but I
email to the old board.
Oh, email to the old board.
Be elected member.
Right. And obviously in respect to the committee, and I was on the committee, and Sonali, we sent them out. It didn't get even discussed previously. I do agree with what Kimberly's saying and what Julie's saying. I think what seems to be in order is to ask everybody on the LSB to review this preceding the next meeting and then to have a vote at the next meeting.
Someone will send it out.
I will.
Sonali will.
I should have sent it out earlier and I apologize.
Okay. I'm going to actually, before I go to the rest of the stack, that's a motion. A motion to table. Is that right?
Well, motion to for this. No, let's vote on it after public comments, and the motion is to have it distributed via email to every LSB and then to vote on it next meeting.
Right, it's a motion. And is there a second to that?
Okay.
Is there a second to
on
that?
On order?
Yes, it's moved and seconded.
On order.
Pardon me?
On a point of order?
Oh, yes.
Okay, or procedure, I'm not sure. But as we're going to be distributing it, the committee's going to distribute it, which they don't need a motion to do so, and as we're going to be discussing it at the next meeting, why take any more time with this?
Right. Well, I think that's a very good point. The only thing is, the committee was hoping there would be a vote today, but they've reconsidered. So maybe we can have unanimous consent. We can just ask for unanimous consent that this be a time certain item in the March agenda of the LSB. If there's unanimous consent, we can cut through some of the Roberts Rules of Order. Any objection to making this an early time certain item at the March LSB? Seeing no objection, we can take a couple comments. I did recognize two people. I'm going to call on first Kimberly and then Sherna.
We'll go slow.
We have 30 seconds.
I'll fudge that a little bit.
Point of order.
Oh, yes, David.
Motion to table is not debatable.
No, that's not what...
I was never seconded.
No.
That's not what this is. Yeah, I seconded it.
No. Let it go.
You know, David, I think I'm out of order, but I've ruled that just there's been a unanimous consent by the board to make it an early agenda item.
We were already past that now?
Well, yes, we asked if there was unanimous...
Okay, so we're not talking about that item now.
No, we're not talking about that now.
I withdraw.
No, we're not talking about that.
I have time for this.
Okay, you know, I'm going to just ask the indulgence of the board that we hear from Kimberly, who's been very patient, and then Sherna, and then we move ahead. Kimberly, go ahead, as quickly as possible.
I'd love to hear from the committee what the purpose of, like, who's going to fill this out? Who is going to complete this evaluation? Who is the survey director?
Okay, just a point of information to the committee. Is that going to be covered in the material that you send out?
Well, I mean, I can just... the actual mechanism to implement the evaluation has not been specifically decided upon, but the understanding was that it would be filled out by all programmers and by the local station board members, although that's not final.
So it's...
The new committee will have to decide that.
Okay.
Okay, so clearly that new committee will have to meet between now and the March LSB meeting. Sherna.
I want to ask if this can in any way be modified and used for a PD evaluation. I'm very concerned that the Management Evaluation Committee focused only on the GM and that there's been no movement on an evaluation process for the PD.
Any member of the committee respond to that, please? She's asking whether it's just focused on the general manager,
and
or what about...
It can be modified to also...
And can it be modified to deal
I'll
with
answer that.
The program director?
Or I'll attempt to answer that. The member of the committee, I don't think that that was our charge to review the executive director, although I think that...
PD.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say PD?
Yeah.
It is our charge to review the PD.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So once we get through this, I think that's a very good idea.
Can this instrument be used?
Can this instrument, maybe Sonali, could it be modified?
Well, I mean, I think, and Margaret, maybe let Margaret speak for sure.
Oh, Margaret.
Yeah, I worked on the committee, and indeed, this particular survey, we focused specifically on the GM. I think that the survey could be looked at again because there's some areas that may be more specific to a PD that's not reflected in this particular one. So it would be the charge of the new committee.
I'm just going to make a comment. At the Pacifica National Board meeting, I met with the LSB chair from Houston. She gave me a very complete document they're using to evaluate, I believe, both the GM and the PD at the Houston station. And I'm going to give that document to this committee because they had success with it, and it may help us in this signal area deal with that issue.
Did you email it to us?
Pardon me?
Did you email it?
You can email it.
I'm going to give it. It's in hard copy, but we can
try to get an electronic copy.
Yeah, we'll get from Houston. Okay, the chair is going to rule that this agenda item is closed and that the vote on the program oversight motion will take place after public comment. And now we're returning, after those two time-certain reports, we're returning to agenda item 2 to finish, hopefully very quickly, the GM report and a couple questions to the GM. Chair,
how much time do we have?
Okay, we now have, I'm going to say arbitrarily, we have 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
And we're going to have to end after 5 minutes. It's going to have to be very, very strict. I'm sorry, and thank you, Eva. We're returning to you for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you, Don. We were at the web statistics. The next one was just streaming statistics. And if you look at that, we're just trying to take snapshots. We're gonna try and track it now every day. And it tells us there that KPFK has an estimate of 10 to 20,000 individuals that are tuning in on the website every day to listen to KPFK. The chart looks like this. And then I'll move on. The next ones are just information mostly. You have, maybe not go through the documents right now, but you have the Pacifica policy that has just come out in the last 24 hours. It's an updated policy on the non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy for Pacifica. There's also an email privacy policy that Pacifica used. There's a code of ethics on fundraising, a code of ethics for news, a code of ethics for programming. So that's what's in the set of documents as well as the GM report. And then there's the Pacifica Employee Handbook. So these will give you an idea of some or a lot of the policies that we work with. And on that note, the news director search committee, I don't know if anybody else would want to make some comments on that. The committee has completed its work, and we have come to an agreement about what that composition would look like, so I'm happy to make that announcement. The committee decided on actually three positions, so there will be appointment or employment of three positions. Would be co-news directors and then the position for news editor. I'm still finalizing things with people and doing the background checks and completing that, but the offer has been made one to Fernando Velasquez, and he's here as co-news director for KPFK. Molly Page is the other co-news director that the offer of hire has been made to, and both of these individuals have accepted.
Is Molly here?
She's not here.
No.
I should have invited her.
She'll hear us wherever she is.
And then the third position for news editor, the offer for hire has been made to Patrick Burke, that is currently in our news department. I want to thank the committee for their work. I think we do need to get together at some point and write a report about this. So I think I will stop at this point and allow for questions. Marie, I think, was being
You're
waiting for questions.
You're absolutely right. Marie, the chair recognizes Marie, and thank you for your patience.
Marie, am I in the staff?
Let's actually just raise your hands and we'll make a staff.
I could probably take Don. If you don't mind, I could probably take a list of questions and then respond to them.
Okay, we'll begin with Marie and then to Shirna, and then I'll be watching for other hands or cards.
Dave.
And David. Marie, Shirna, David. Let's go ahead.
Okay. The spike in the listener audience in 03, I think it was not as a result of programming. However, it was a result of the war. The war started in March of 03, and that's where you saw that spike, and this was not programming.
Thank you. Comment to that, I'm not sure how we separate programming from the listener growth. I think it goes hand in hand, because if you look at it, I think the thing would be to look at over the next year and the next 2 years, because if you look at last year, you continue to see that the listenership has pretty much stayed the same with a few thousand members in difference there.
All right, and who is
me? I was next.
It was.
I was next, I believe. No.
It's okay.
Who's got the list? It was Marie, myself, and Dave.
Yeah, that's right. Sharon, okay. And then Dave, and then myself.
I have a question about policy on KPFK sponsoring events. I've heard repeatedly commercials, I would call them, for something that's going to take place on the Queen Mary, and listing or announcing that the listener should go to the Queen Mary site, which is a .com. I haven't had time to check out if the Queen Mary is unionized, but to my knowledge, the only union hotel in the Long Beach area is the Queens Bay Hilton. So I want to know what our policy is, and I strongly oppose that our sponsoring anything with a non-union facility.
Eva.
Thank you, Shanna. You know, we do have a policy that we've worked on, and unfortunately I don't have it this morning. What I'll do, I'll send the co-sponsorship policy out to the board on Monday.
Is it on the website?
I believe it's been on the website for a long time, so it should be there. Also, just the Queen Mary, I hear your comment, Shanna. These are different groups of black organizations that has come together. Marie could maybe respond if she wants to. That is doing a Black History Month celebration on the Queen Mary. So it becomes difficult to say we won't support your cause because of where you having it. So that might be an area to look at it as how to address that. But these are black organizations. This is a Black History Month event that we are co-sponsoring.
You know, I'm going to rule that we're not going to be able to resolve this policy. The policy has been raised to the GM, and we need to be a part of policies and procedures, but I'm going to recognize David Adelson.
Yeah, just in terms of the web statistics, when we talk about things like 89,000 people for the month, it's not actually 89,000 individuals. It may be about the same 3,000 or 4,000 tuning in daily. We had some reports up at the PMB level that did the same thing, and I think you have to know how Webalizer reports these numbers, because it makes it seem like already our streaming is a lot reaching more people than our FM broadcast, which isn't the case. The streaming statistics are something like 200 to 250 right now. But I just do want to say that I just learned that iPod now there's a radio station that will push content into your iPod as a regular thing, so it'll show up on your iPod every day, that program. We need to be thinking about the ways in which we get our programming out there, not just through streaming, but through other venues, because it's going to be a lot bigger, and it's going to change the model of broadcasting from one where we're fighting over whether or not you have a time slot to how do we fill all this tremendous space and generate traffic to it.
Thank you, David. And the last comment, I'm going to ask Eva. The contract that you put out to the board lists the union as United Electrical, but clearly you're negotiating with AFTRA.
It was it's United Electrical, and we have an agreement with AFTRA, which is part of the extension. So it is indeed AFTRA.
Yeah. So I'll just alert the board that while it says United Electrical, the union at the station is the American Federation of Radio and Television Artists. Okay. I'm going to recognize Arturo because he hasn't spoken.
What was the year that the agreement was extended? What was the year?
The year that the contract was extended, the union contract, it was extended, I started in June 2002, so by the end of 2002.
Thank you. We're 2 hours into this meeting, and the director's report, which is 30 minutes, we would appreciate it if this could be less than 30, but you do have 30, but we're hoping it could be less than 30. For the information of our listener sponsors, our four national board members are Maria Armudian, Julie Chavez-Rodriguez, David Adelson, and Donna Warren. So which of the directors is going to lead off? Donna.
I'm going to lead off because I'm just going to kind of give an overview and then ask the other directors to fill in. First of all, I think we all want to thank and we appreciate the great effort that was given by our general manager, Eva Georgia, and her staff. The PMB in Los Angeles ran efficiently. It was very comfortable. We also want to give special thanks to the Archives Director, Brian DeShazer, for hosting a wonderful reception, and KPFK listener sponsor, Mansoor, for transportation.
Mansoor!
Yay, Mansoor!
And also to PMB Director William Walker for emergency transportation. Okay. On the first day, we had training. And the training was with the board, the GM's affiliate director, the affiliate director, the executive director, and the CFO. I think that this training, this is my own personal opinion, was a little, it wasn't what I expected it to be. Let's put it that way. I thought that we were going to figure out the roles of management and the board and how to interact with each other. But what the training was the trainer, Deborah Grimes, led us through very successful exercises of identifying goals of Pacifica and how to reach these goals. However, what I thought was the purpose didn't happen. On the second day, we continued the training, and in the evening, the PMB convened at 6 p.m. And by the way, LSB members, I passed these out to you, so you should have them in front of you. Okay, so then we convened at 6 p.m. Maria Armunian was selected our secretary pro tem. She did a very good job. And we did the rest of the agenda items, approved the minutes and the agenda, heard introductions from the PMB members, and held public participation. On Saturday, we reconvened, and the committees gave the report. All the committees gave a report, and several of the committees did a really great amount of work during the year. Unfortunately, I can't really report on that work because we don't have the minutes from the PMB meeting, and I really don't remember everything that went on. But I do promise that at our next meeting, we'll give the highlights of those committee reports. We attempted to elect officers and place members on committees. I don't think we were so successful in putting people on all the committees. But we did elect Ambrose Lane as our chair, and our own Julie Rodriguez as our vice chair.
Right on.
And Julie took over for maybe a whole day or
a half a day,
and you could see that she's very experienced, she knows what she's doing, and she knew how to run a meeting.
I learned some stuff from Julie watching her chair the meeting. She was really very good.
And the PM reports were given by the executive director and the CFO. No report was given by the auditor, Russ Wisdom, who does the our annual audit. He was supposed to report on the audit later in January. I'm not sure if he did. Then reports were given by the GMs. Okay, then we came to the fourth day. Woo! Okay. On the fourth day in the AM, we had executive session. And in the PM, we had the race and nationality presentation. On the agenda, Ambrose Lang was supposed to make a presentation, but that's not what happened. Instead, a group called the Pacifica Anti-Racism Work Group, which included our new co-news director, Fernando Velasquez, Leslie Radford, Rafael Retanera, and other, and PMB director Bob Letterer from WPAI, presented five motions to the PMB. The motions, resolutions were given to some members like me on that day and were not vetted by the current or immediately prior KPFK LSB before they were presented to this current PMB. After emotional comments from the public, the PMB was asked to vote on the motions. Without the minutes, I am unable to say exactly, maybe someone else can, but exactly what was voted on and what was not voted on. Since there was a great deal of chaos ensued in the meeting when the directors were asked to vote on the motions. So, and I'm sure Julie and David can comment a little bit more on that. But looking back, I do have this comment to say as a director, that I believe that this LSB should, even though these motions were formulated in 2002 and have been on the burner for a long time, I believe that this LSB should have had the opportunity to hear the motions, to vet them, and to direct their directors to vote on them. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. Okay, on the fifth day, January the 17th, we had about 22 people, directors and LSB members and others, marched in the Martin Luther King Parade. And I want to give special recognition to Ed Pearl, who made up these wonderful flyers and gave out hundreds of them to the people up and down the parade route, to let the public know that KPFK recognizes and honors Dr. King and that KPFK is there for the community. And that's the end of my report.
Other directors?
Sure, just a couple of quick comments.
Yeah.
Let me just take this down. Just a couple of quick comments about the director's meeting. I thought that one thing, in terms of the pre-board, I guess, meetings and discussions that we had, we were able to, I think, come together and highlight some of the priority areas over the next year between the board and the management. And so hopefully it will serve as somewhat of a guiding light, although I know folks weren't as pleased with what they were hoping, you know, had come out of the training. But hopefully it wasn't useless entirely. There was also, I guess, also too, one thing I wanted to point out is that I felt like not having Ambrose's presentation prior to really discussing the race and nationality stuff was something that I think it was somewhat of a mistake. I know that it was time, you know, we were dealing with time constraints and those sorts of things, but I felt like what Ambrose was preparing to do was to really discuss sort of the history and the roots of racism and oppression as it sort of existed, not just within, particularly within Pacifica as an institution, but within society, and then moving into how that has continued within this institution. And so I feel like that may have given a little bit more context to some of the motions and some of the efforts that we were trying to move through. And then lastly, I just want to thank Donna for her hard work and really putting together the MLK March. It was amazing, and I know that for many of us, we were blown away to see the level of response just from the crowd. We would walk by, I mean, people would be cheering KPFK, and we love you, and, you know, thank you, and I mean, just really, really amazing response, and I think all of us were pretty we're pretty blown away and pleasantly surprised by that. So I just want to thank Donna for her hard work.
So I just want to congratulate Julie on being vice chair. And I remember every time I ever ran a meeting, I went home with a headache and had to sleep for the next 4 hours. And that was a tough day. A few things on the strategic, on the quote board training. It was really more of a kind of initial approach to strategic planning, at least to prioritization of goals. And Bob Lederer raised the point in the meeting that that should not be done in a private session. That the one, and I, you know, echoed that, because one of the things that went wrong with the prior strategic five-year plan was that you get in a room and everybody starts agreeing, and there's certain sentiments that aren't present. You tend to funnel down into a common way of looking at things, and that's something that maybe, I mean, I understand the importance of a retreat, but we have to work out how we're going to do that kind of thing in the future. I agree with Donna and Julie. I really was hoping that it would be about management and board relations, because we've got this new governance structure that's supposedly representative, but I don't really feel that anywhere in the governance structure there has as yet been an effective coming together around what is a meaningful role of that in the lives of the stations and what's the relation. And there tends to be this attitude of, well, this conflict between, you know, is the governance structure trying to engage in micromanagement or insert itself into things that are properly the area of management, versus is management trying to decide things that really are up to the board. And I want to talk about a couple of things. One of the most important places where the governance structure has stepped forward and done something that was actually meaningful was the vote that came out of this local board on the national program director and national programming policy issues. The what got added to that motion back in October, and just for those who are new, we decided there was a proposal by the national office to hire a national program director beginning in January. And oddly enough, there's nothing in the budget for a search process. There's $500 for a personnel search for two positions, a human resources director, which was approved, and a national program director. So it leads to the question, well, how is this person going to be selected and through what process? But what got added to that motion motion was that, which delayed the hiring of a national program director until the National Programming Committee could consider national programming policy, because how are you going to hire somebody to do something that you haven't defined yet? What got added was that that would be happen, that would need to come out of that committee by April 1st. So our representatives to that committee have about 7 weeks to come up with defining what the role, if any, of a national program director or coordinator would be, and what's the overall approach to national programming. And this is going to be a crucial test of the relationship of governance to management. And I want to bring up the Finance Committee resolutions, which defined information that the management was supposed to give to the Finance Committee. And on the Finance Committee call on Friday, yesterday, we found out that from the executive director, who saw that I had put revisiting those issues on the agenda, that, well, there are issues with the implementation that we're going to be hearing from staff. And so there's, we in the Signal area, I think, have a good relationship with management. No relationship's perfect, but Eva has shown an interest and a willingness to mediate different concerns and to have the board participating at a level that's not common throughout the network. And so I'm really hoping that our board starts leading in this area of what's, how to define that relationship, because I don't think it's effective in other places. I think when we pass motions that the management has serious issues with, we end up in a cycle where we continue to have to revisit and talk about it further and further, and we have to decide whether, you know, how we're going to deal with those things. One of the areas in which this came up in the meeting, I think, was the reports from the staff. So we didn't even actually hear from the executive director. We had a series of reports from each unit manager and not really any time to talk about it. So these initiatives like the web initiative and all these other things that we're going to be doing as a foundation moving forward comes to the board, but the board, as far as I can tell, the local boards and the national board aren't really involved at that level. So I'd like to know over the course of this year, this board's attitude on its own role in the vision thing about how we grow as an institution, because people are taking for granted that there's one way to do it. In that context, I think there are three areas that we really need to look at, and one is personnel, one is contracts, and the other is grievances. Should the governance structure be playing a role, and if so, what role, in the issues of personnel policy, contracts, oversight, because we define our relationships to other organizations by the contracts we sign, and then grievance procedures. And so one of the questions is, you know, we have not involved ourselves as a local board there. In the bylaws, those roles are not specified, but it would be perfectly appropriate for the national board to put forth a responsibility to the local boards to be involved in those things. So I have a question of this board, whether that's something there that we think should be done. And I also have a question of Eva about how she thinks that might work, because again, we do have a more copacetic relationship with management than occurs in other places. The last thing is on the race and nationality proposals. A number of them were approved. One that was not approved yet and is sent to committee is the question of co-national race and nationality coordinators. And that's another thing that I think the Committee of Inclusion is going to have to be looking at, which is, are we going to have staff and national staff who are doing that job? And this goes to the question of how we do staffing more generally, because one of the things I was happy about was when I saw the draft proposal on a couple of days before the meeting, I said, look, I have an issue with a single national coordinator, because then that person's vision becomes the vision for the whole thing, de facto, because that person's doing the work. And so by the time we saw it 2 days later, that had, they had taken that into account and turned it into two co-directors. But, and while I appreciate being heard, I don't think there was a discussion between lots of people who may have ideas on that point. So that question of how we're going to arrange to staff the people who actually do the work of implementing race and nationality resolutions or looking into those issues, that's a big question, and I hope that that's something that whoever is in the Committee of Inclusion, anyone who has thoughts on that should be talking to them. Anybody who has thoughts on our national programming policy had better get with the representatives to the National Program Committee. Last thing, the Coordinating Committee is the mechanism by which information requests get made. So committee, our communications policy is such that if a committee needs information from the manager, they ask the manager. But if there's any issue, issue with that, or if the question is for the national office, that goes through the coordinating committee. So I'm our coordinating committee rep, and if you have information requests types of things, then I would be the person that you would transmit that to. But those should really come through the committees rather than through individuals. And last thing I want to say is I really appreciate Casey McFall's work on the National Finance Committee as our treasurer pro tem. It's been very effective and very, very appreciated, the level of expertise and the responsibility with which she's taken care of notes and asked very incisive questions.
Very well. Now, we're going to take some comments. My SAC is Eva and then Sherna. I'm sorry.
Maria is a board member.
Oh, excuse me, Maria.
Okay.
Oh.
Right.
I just insulted the girl named Maria.
I think actually you guys covered it quite well. A couple other things. I mean, we passed a number of resolutions on racism, anti-racism, anti-oppression training. I think we came to a really good sort of agreement among the boards on those. We'll have the language to you hopefully by the next session. We just haven't gotten our minutes back with the exact languages that were completed. But one of them was passing the bilingual programming that is going to be based here in Los Angeles with Fernando, I think, at the lead. So I think that was...
Not bilingual, no. Spanish broadcasting.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. The Spanish language. And then we passed a number of resolutions that... Actually, can we even mention that we passed a resolution on the ADA stuff? I mean, because I think that's really important, but we can't... So we have to wait on all that until it's public? Okay, so we wait on that. We have three more task forces in addition to the committees that we formed. One is affiliates. We have 60 affiliates so far. We just got another one, and we're intending to expand that, you know, well into the 100 plus this year. So that's one. Also, development and negotiations for contracts, which David talked a little bit about. So those are a couple things. Let's see. Is there anything else? You know, there actually was quite a bit, but in terms, in the, just for the sake of time, I'm going to stop because there's probably going to be some questions.
Okay, now I have a stack of comments or questions. Eva, Sherna, Grace, and then Arturo, Margaret, Rodrigo, Lydia. Let's start with those. And excuse me, Reza. Yes.
How much time do you want?
Now, people, can we limit you to a minute and a half? A minute and a half, and we'll ask the secretary. Excuse me, the sergeant at arms, the vice chair, to limit. And please try to make them a minute and a half. Let's begin with Eva.
Oh, can I edit this out later after I say it?
Can you what?
Can I edit this out later? To Dave's question, I think one way to possibly do this is to work with the Governance or Structure Committee and review policies that's already in existence and then look at what else is needed. And then, you know, for the LSB members to become familiar with what does exist, and part of that is in the documentation, in the union contract, etc. So I think maybe that's the way to go on that issue. I'm not sure, did that answer your question, Dave? On the race and nationality resolution, we are already working on a grant proposal that is due on March 3rd to the CPB. CPB has allocated $6.4 million for national programming, and national programming on CPB is defined as two radio stations carrying a program, so we're talking to the other Pacifica GMs. So that's the answer to that.
Thank you very much. Sherna.
First one comment, comment question. At the PMB meeting, because no PMB members from several Cigna areas agreed to be on the archive committee, it was de facto declared a task force. The archive committee members object strenuously, and I have recommended that it go back to the PNB, and I've talked to our four delegates, and Donna has agreed to at least temporarily serve on that so we can resuscitated as a committee, not downgraded to a task force. But my other issue is the proliferation of positions in the national office. LaVarne Williams, during the PMB meeting, referenced this several times, that it's gone from 4 to 10. I'm wondering how that happened. Was there authorization for adding new positions? Did the PMB vote on these new positions? Were there search committees? It's not at all clear how we're getting such proliferation of people in the national office. It seems very top-heavy to many of us.
I'm going to ask directors to make notes of these inquiries, and we'll end with a director who can ask those. I'm going to go now to Grace.
I'd just like to request that the Pacifica National Board members, if they want to have what they say recorded, that you present me with a written report, and then I'll append that to the minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. Arturo.
I have a question in regards to the Pacifica Anti-Racism Work Group. I received a mail titled Real Democracy, Real Action. I always like to take lessons. And would any of the members of the National Board know, could you please explain to me or to the body how this group was formed? And since this group is, according to this email, is under no obligation of any kind to parochialize or channel its proposals through KPFK LSB or any other local entity of the Pacifica governance structure, I wonder, well, how are they part of the Pacifica network? I would also like to know if this group is open to the public, when their next meeting is. And anyway, those are some of the questions that I have in regards to that issue.
And we'll ask directors to make notes of the questions. Let's go to Margaret.
Right. I'm two things. One, in relation to the staff, I was wondering if it was possible for other members of the staff to be able to be briefed on what happens at these meetings, and I'm not quite sure, you know, what form that would work, besides kind of informal interaction in the hallway or, you know, whatever, but there'd be some structure so that both paid and unpaid staff have some idea of what is happening on the board from their staff rep, but not only the staff reps, to invite the others as well, you know, to have input on that. Also that we figure out how to implement the on-air report to the listeners so that a wider swath of listeners actually have a sense, you know, briefly on what's going on in the board and have the ability to be able to call in questions and concerns besides this particular format to get more listener input. One last thing, which is the issue that did come up at the last board meeting, which is how do we as other LSB members more effectively be able to comment and have input on issues that the directors are voting on the board so that we have some say in it as opposed to just the individual director, you know, whose judgment we're sure is good, but sometimes we want to influence one way or the other.
Thank you, Margaret. Rodrigo.
Dave Smato, the director.
Yeah, just another question added to what Lemos asked, you know, is that we don't remember there was any meeting with the rest of Spanish programmers to, you know, ask our opinion about national programming of news. And I don't know if it happened with the rest of the stations that belongs to the Pacifica or not. And because we got an email from KPFA saying that they do also have great people who does Spanish, you know, on news. So I, you know, actually support the idea, and it's great, and it has to be done thoroughly. The question is the process, you know, how it's been done, you know, and if it is acceptable for the LSB members too, the way it was done, you know. So basically that, but we do support it.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
We have three more minutes on this item.
Lydia Brisson.
Okay, I wanted to direct my first comments to Donna just as a point of clarification, is that it was not a group that brought forward those resolutions. It was a committee. It was one of your committees. It's a committee of the Committee of Inclusion, Race and Nationality. So it's a subcommittee of the National Board with standing to bring forth resolutions. And also that in the email you sent out, you referred to Fernando as a listener sponsor. He's staff, and he served on this board as staff. But I agree with you that it would be most useful, and it's useful to people who bring forth resolutions to share those resolutions ahead of time. It's just a great organizing way to do it. I don't think realistically we can expect that to happen. The five excellent resolutions on finance that were passed were never run by this board either. And however, whenever, at least that I know of, but you know, the point is that realistically we're not always going to have time to receive those in time. I would urge everyone who does make them to get them to us as soon as possible for that. In terms of, I also urge people to listen whenever possible, and Terry has been great about announcing when those national board meetings occur, to listen to them. They're also archived, and so we need to do that more often. It's very hard to just give a little summary. And then as far as Rodrigo's comment, is that the programming proposal that came forward came out of that Race and Nationality Committee, so it wasn't a locally developed program as such. It was within the context of race and nationality diversity, and we still institutionally have not been able to delineate the differences in how you develop that sort of thing. So that's why there probably, you know, wasn't the consultation, et cetera, because it came out of a working committee that's a committee not of this board but of the national board. Thank you.